What's going on, Tan and J-Man Show Nation? It's Monday night. It's March 3rd, 2025. It's the month we let the madness begin.
Oh, yeah.
I'm Tanner Lee. Coach Josh the J-Man Munt is in a little better mood than he was last Monday.
I think we both are. It's it's incredible how a week can change things perspective-wise. When it comes to our sports teams, because I think we were both sitting here last week and man, I don't know if our team's gonna win another game, and here they are undefeated this past week and peaking at the right time is what I like to say.
Yeah, well, we kind of hit on it last week, you know, as quickly as things can take a turn for the worse, they can also quickly turn around,
right?
When you have a talented team, and you know, Illinois got it done with two wins last week. Purdue only played once, but they got a hard-fought victory on Friday. And now they both – Illinois only has one game this week. Purdue has two. But, of course, they play each other Friday night. So,
yeah. The Big Ten has started to become a fan of putting Purdue and Illinois games like the last week of the season.
Feels like it's three of the last 4 years.
Maybe it's because they've been like the perennial top two teams over the past 5 years and they want to see – how that shakes out, but
could be.
Yeah, it's been like past 3 years or so. It seems like it's been one of the last two games or so.
And you know, it's funny looking back on it when the schedule came out. I was like, okay, you know, Purdue only plays Illinois once, Michigan State once, even though it's on the road, Wisconsin once. Looking back, I wish they had a crack at some of those teams twice,
right?
Because of where they're going to end up in the standings. So
yeah. And, of course, we didn't know Wisconsin was going to be as good as they were, or Michigan State for that matter, too. So,
or Michigan.
Or Michigan, yeah. It would have been nice to have a crack at those teams twice. Illinois did with both Wisconsin and Michigan State.
Purdue did with Michigan. But
yeah. And, yeah, you always kind of want to play. I mean, it on paper it looks good to, oh, man, get to only play these teams once. But if you're going to be battling with them, you kind of want to play them twice just to – maybe
sure.
Get the leg up on them.
Yep. But absolutely. But it's, yeah, well, this is the last week of the regular season. Yeah. For the big conferences, for the mid-majors, it's conference tournament time for a few of them.
So Arch Madness is this week. That's always a really fun one. That's kind of the first big one down there that gets clinched on Sunday. And, yeah, the next 3 weeks are an absolute blast for college basketball fans. So
yep. It's the time of the year that the non-diehards tune in.
Yeah. I don't like the non-diehards because we're diehards throughout the year and we follow it. And the diehards jump in here in March and act like they know a lot, which they are usually the ones that win the brackets.
They are.
The people that know the most usually overthink things. But
what mascot can beat up what mascot? Yeah. Things like that. Yep.
Best looking coach is another one I've seen picked.
Maybe you should use that strategy this year.
I might have to do that. That might work for me. So no Marcus Freeman in college basketball though, or he'd probably be the guy I'd pick to win it all.
There you go.
Yeah. I do have some birdie bogey. It is a college basketball related question. Since 2010. What program has the most wins in the month of March? That includes regular season, conference tourneys, NCAA tourney, and maybe even NIT. Maybe this team's been in the NIT over the past, you know, 14, 15 seasons. So what – and you might have seen it over the weekend. And you're going to
– I didn't see it. No, I didn't see it.
What team has the most wins? What program has the most wins since 2010 in the month of March? I might give you a hint because it's tough. Like the hint I'll give you, this team wouldn't even be on my radar as a team that's won a bunch of games in March. So that's my
great.
Hint.
All right.
that's my hint to you. Birdie Bogey is brought to you by Arlington Public House for casual atmosphere and great food and cocktails, located 703 Main Street in Rochester, Indiana. So go get your food.
You hit the nail on the head. Whether you want a steak, pork chop, seafood, burger, great appetizers, great drinks, they got it all. Go check them out. 703 Main Street, Rochester, Indiana. and you will not be disappointed.
Yeah.
So, all right. All right. Well, since we're talking college hoops, I'm going to hit you with a blind ranking right away tonight. Right.
I love it.
A little bit. It is college basketball related, and it is mid-major conference related. Since we got the mid-major conference tournaments going on, I have five different programs. I want you to list them one through five with, you can kind of use your own criteria, whether it's more recency biased or a historic bias, but I'm just going to hit you with five different ones.
One through five. It's going to be tough. Yeah.
So starting with St. Mary's.
Oh man, they've been consistently good over the past, 15 years or so. Don't have the tournament success, which is tough for a mid-major to have a lot of tournament success. It's a cop out, but I'm putting them three just because I don't know what's coming next. And Randy Bennett's done a heck of a job there, and they're good again this year. So
UNLV.
Man, they were really good from they're great in the 90s. I mean, they won a title.
1990.
They won a title. Recently they haven't been that great. Because they won a title, I'm going to put them two. I should probably put them one, but I'm going to put them two. My criteria is their entire history. That's
all right. All right. Dayton Flyers.
That's a good one. Our boy, Lil Archie, had a nice run there when he was there, and then could not sustain it at Indiana. I don't know what he's doing at Rhode Island or wherever he is.
Well, and they might have. They had the team to do some real damage in 1920 season.
Yeah, Obi Toppin, and I think they were in line to get a one seed, if I'm not mistaken. They could have done some damage. I'm going to put them four.
All right. Gonzaga Bulldogs.
I'm going to put them one. It's tough, though, because UNLV's won the title. And
you're right.
Has not. But, man, they've been awesome since Mark Few got there. And they were good with, John Stockton, too. I'm going to put them one just because they have this insane run of greatness. I know they're going to be in the tourney this year, but they're going to be a real scary 8 or 9 seed come 2 weeks from now.
So the last team sliding into your fourth spot is the VCU Rams.
I'm okay with that. I think they're my five spot. Dayton's my four. VCU.
Even though VCU made a Final Four in 2011.
They made a Final Four. I have no place to put them, so they're fifth.
Yeah. I'm just saying, saying you're acting like you would slide them five.
I'd put them five either way. They had the great run. They were good with Shaka. They had some good years with Will Wade.
Anthony Grant.
And Anthony Grant had some success there as well. Yeah. I'm okay with them five because they're more recent. I remember they beat Duke in the tourney 1 year, and that was kind of the first time I'd heard of them with Eric Maynor, I think, was their point guard.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, they had the run to the Final Four. But other than that, they got hurt the COVID year, 2020-2021 season, because I think they were the first team that could not play and had to forfeit because they had
in the tournament. Yeah.
And I think that team was pretty good. I want to say they were a 7 seed or a 6 seed, something like that. And I think that was the last year that they might have made the tournament since. I don't remember. But I'm okay with them being fifth.
I think if I had to do that list, I agree with Gonzaga at 1, UNLV 2, even though I would have paused with some hesitation maybe putting UNLV 1 just because they have won a title.
Right.
But since we've really been watching, they haven't been – much of a factor in college basketball, really. But I think I put VCU 3 just for that run itself in 2011. Then St. Mary's 4, Dayton 5.
That's fair. The Final Four run for VCU, it'd be more recency bias for that.
Yep.
They could absolutely be third. I mean, Gonzaga's been to the national title game a handful of times. Just get twice.
Two times. Yeah, he lost to Carolina and Baylor.
And Baylor, yeah. But that probably would have been best course of action. Having St. Mary's won made it tough.
It's so easy. I'm already figuring this out. This is our fourth week doing this. It's so easy when you get the first one thrown at you to put it at three.
Right.
Just because it's safe. It's safe. Go one direction or the other.
Yeah. Sometime we're going to have to, I don't know, one of us is going to have to throw out something that should easily be number one.
Right away. Yeah. Yep.
Or
something that should easily be number five.
Yeah.
Yeah. But good stuff. Good stuff. I was going to go with a mix of mid-major players, but went a little different route. So, but that is the blind ranking segment, which is brought to you by Like It Will Be for every week in 2025, Performer Print 2 Promo Group. If you're looking for a trustworthy, dependable resource for your next trade show, company picnic, or a sales meeting, Performer Print 2 Promo Group has over 50 years combined experience in promotional products and commercial print. They strive for fast and efficient response to all your print needs, so you need to look no further. Let them be your one-source print and promotional company today by giving Barbara Van Weinsberg a call at 574-210-3815. You want to stick with college hoops, or should we save that for last?
I say we stick with it because I think we even have in our holster top five players for Purdue, Illinois, Indiana since 2000.
Oh, yeah, which nice. I haven't thought about for 2 weeks.
I haven't either. It literally just came to me right now. I thought we were going to do that, and I don't really have it listed down anywhere. I was just going to fire it off. But let's talk some college hoops. It is a fun week with some of the mid-major tourneys starting. As I said, Arch Madness. Next week's arguably the best week of college basketball. You have the little conference tourneys, and then you have the big conference tourneys as well. It's as good, if not better, than, you know, the first round or two of the NCAA tournament. So, fun time of year. It's getting warmer. Baseball's heating up as well. So, this is, I would say, a top two sports month is March.
Yeah. It's hard to argue that. It is something like, you know, it seems like the older I get, the less significance I'm putting on these conference tourney as far as winning them.
Right.
I still think it's more impressive, of course, to win your regular season. Hard to do, too. And some of it, like we're saying, and anymore with the Big Ten, is schedule plays a very important factor. Not really who you play necessarily, but when. Or when's your West Coast trip now for the Big Ten, things like that. But you still want to have a good showing usually to get some momentum rolling into it. But like last year, Purdue loses their first game. Did they lose their first game?
Second game,
you're right. I was thinking back in 2018-19, they lost their Friday night game to Minnesota.
I remember that.
Then goes on a run. Yeah, I was not happy that night. So in other years, they've made a good run and then outed right away in the NCAA tournament. So it's hard telling. The main thing, you just want to get through it without any injury scares, which Braden Smith gave Purdue a scare last year against Michigan State. And now that I'm thinking about that on that Friday, he kind of rolled his ankle pretty bad. But what's your take on the conference tournaments?
No, I'm right there with you. It's more impressive and a bigger accomplishment to win the regular season. It's awfully fun to win the tournament, though. Illinois has done that. I mean, they did it last year. But there was kind of a Big Ten tournament champion curse there for a little bit. I mean, you had, of course, Purdue the year before loses 16. You had Iowa lose to a 12. Year before that, I think Purdue won it, and then they lose to St. Peter's. Did Purdue win it that year?
No, they lost to Iowa. No, that year.
The Jaden Ivey year.
They lost to Iowa.
Oh, they lost that. So that's when Iowa won. Who won it 2 years ago? I thought Iowa won it 2 years ago. You guys won it 2 years ago.
And lost to
lost FDU. Then Iowa beat Purdue. And then they lose to a 12. Year before that was Illinois. They lose to Loyola in the round of 32. Last year, Illinois wins and they go to the Elite Eight. So maybe that curse is busted a little bit. But it's fun winning the Big Ten tournament, but a regular season means a lot more in my book. You're going to get a banner either way.
That's what I was going to say. In Illinois and Purdue's case, though, with good teams, you want to win something. Like you were talking about that Jane Ivey team. That was a pretty darn good Purdue team, and they had nothing to show for it.
Yeah.
That year. So
yeah, it's yeah. And the regular season shows how good of a team you are, really. Cause I mean, you can easily win three or four games in a row if you get hot or whatever. And obviously the past couple of years, one of the best teams in the league has won the Big Ten title. I mean, Illinois was the 2 seed last year. They won it. Purdue the 1 the year before. I mean, Iowa, I think they were a top 4 seed. Illinois was the 2 seed the year before that. So it's usually the best team or a top 3 or 4 teams going to win it. But the longevity of winning, you know, now you got a 20 league slate, which it has been for a few years, but that just, it's much more impressive to do that. And it means significantly more this year for teams like Nebraska, Ohio State, Indiana. You want to finish the regular season well, but you might need to win, you know, 2 games in the Big Ten tourney, where if a Purdue or Michigan State, Wisconsin, Illinois, teams that are locks for the NCAA tournament lose their first one, it's not that big of a deal. You'd prefer to be there longer than just a day, but it means significantly more for those bubble teams to try to get to Sunday even, or get to Saturday to cement themselves in the tourney.
Yep, absolutely. And this year, Big Ten speaking, it's interesting because 18 teams, but only 15 are making the Big Ten tournament. So if the Big Ten tournament started tonight, USC, Penn State, and Washington will be your 3 teams out.
I think Penn State's clinched already, not being in. They had to win out, and they lost to Maryland on Saturday. I think I heard that right.
So Washington and Penn State are clinched.
Washington's clinched as well. Okay.
Well, they're 4-14.
They're clinched because I think USC has 6 league wins.
They're 6-12. So is Iowa.
So does Iowa. So I think it's between those two. Minnesota helped themselves tremendously.
Yeah.
Winning at Nebraska.
Minnesota's above Nebraska, Northwestern, and Rutgers, even though they all have the same record.
It's crazy that Nebraska's still in the tourney convo after being, you know, they're 7-11 in the league.
They've lost three in a row.
Northwestern, the team that's starting to get hot. You don't really want to play them. Yeah. 3 in a row without Barnheiser, without Leach, and they have UCLA coming to town tonight. And I know they're still in, like, the teams under consideration for Joe Lunardi right now, which they got a long way to go. They have to probably win out and get to at least Sunday. They might even have to win the whole dang thing to get in. But Chris Collins, a heck of a basketball coach, and it pains me to say that. But
you know, it was also hot in the Big Ten. Nobody's talking about Oregon's won 5 straight.
After losing 5 in a row, they've really turned things around. They have a big one tomorrow night. Big one. It's a bigger for Indiana, obviously, than it is Oregon as far as the grand scheme of things. But Dane Altman's a good coach, and he's turned them around because it was looking like they could just absolutely fold after losing, you know, 5 in a row.
Yeah, it is a big one for Indiana. I still think they can be okay if they lose this one, but it puts even more importance on Ohio State.
Right.
In the weekend.
You can survive losing at Oregon. That's not going to do anything for you as far as dropping you a seed line or out of the tourney completely. But you lose at home to Ohio State, and then you lose the first one in the Big Ten tourney.
You're out.
Yeah. I think you're probably out.
I think if they lose to Ohio State, they have to win one, maybe. Actually, probably win two.
Yeah,
in the Big Ten tournament, because whoever they're going to face, Big Ten tournament's not going to be a great win for that first game.
Right. Yeah, they're probably not going to be in the top 50 in the net, so that's going to be a quad two, likely in their first game, depending on who they play. I mean, I think they could play. I don't even know what the bracket looks like right now.
I'm pulling that up right now.
I mean, they easily could play like an Illinois or an Oregon in the first round, and those are, you know, top 30 teams in the net, so that'd be a quad 1A. At that point, but I think if Indiana wins at Oregon,
right now, Indiana would be a 9. They would play the 8, which would be Oregon.
Okay. I think Illinois has the 7.
They're the 7 right now, so they would play the winner of the 10-15. Which would be USC, Ohio State.
Okay. I'd like another shot at USC with a healthy roster. Now, a lot's going to change over the next 6 days. If I assume if Indiana gets the 9, they'd probably play Oregon or Illinois, which would be massive for them just to have an opportunity to get another quad one win. They could end up playing in Ohio State too, who's in the top 50 of the net. But other than that, I don't think there were really any other opportunities in that first round for them to get a game against a quad one opponent.
No. And it's interesting looking at the TV networks. Your first round games on Wednesday nights are all on Peacock. Then it's Big Ten Network for Thursday and Friday across the board. Then CBS Saturday, Sunday.
Right.
Yep. So you want to pick some games?
Let's do it.
For the Big Ten? I haven't even looked at the slate this week.
I have it pulled up here real quick.
Go for it. Yep.
We have UCLA at Northwestern tonight. UCLA is 3.5-point faves.
You know, the Bruins and all the West Coast teams have struggled away from home, but I like UCLA. They gave Purdue all they wanted Friday night. They're dangerous, man. They're pretty good.
Yeah, they're good. They don't have that alpha dog that's going to go score, but they play hard-nosed defense, force a ton of turnovers.
They can get streaky shooting too.
They can. I mean, I saw that when they played against Illinois. They were down 16 with 4 minutes left. Next thing you know, it was a 2-point game because they had 11 straight shots. So I saw that firsthand. You just feel like Northwestern's run's going to come to an end eventually, especially with all the injuries they've had. But I think UCLA's only won one game away from the West Coast.
I think you're right.
One at Indiana. They might have won another game. I'm not sure. They're due. So give me UCLA in that one. Tuesday night, we have a full slate, 3 games. We have Rutgers at Purdue on the Peacock.
Yeah, Purdue took care of them the first time and out there in East Piscataway. But Harper is, of course, fully healthy now this time. But I like Purdue at home on senior night.
Yeah, Purdue at home. Do they have any seniors?
Caleb first, only one.
Give me Purdue at home. Rutgers has kind of been a thorn in Purdue's side at Mackey Arena, which is weird. Yeah. This Rutgers team's not very good. I know they have the two studs, but they have nothing else around them. Indiana at Oregon.
I like Oregon in this one. But it wouldn't shock me if Indiana wins, but I do like Oregon.
Indiana's playing some decent basketball. They could have easily lost to Penn State the other night, though, and then they go into Washington and whoop them. Give me Oregon at home. They're hot as well. A loss for Indiana doesn't do a whole lot for them, I don't think. A win goes a long way, but a loss doesn't hurt them that much.
Correct.
Big bubble implications here. Nebraska coming off a miserable home loss to Minnesota, who's playing good basketball. They've won 6 of their last 11. Traveling to Ohio State. You can get in this door as low as $5.
Couldn't get in the horseshoe for that price when these two teams play, which Nebraska gave Ohio State a scare in football this year. Give me the Buckeyes at home.
Give me Ohio State at home as well. Both teams need it. Neither team can really afford it, in my opinion.
Nope. I agree.
Wednesday night, we have Maryland at Michigan.
Oh, this is a good one. Maryland with the heartbreaking loss to Michigan State via 60-footer last week. Michigan finds ways to get it done at the end of games, even when they're outplayed. Except Illinois throttled them yesterday. Give me Maryland on the road.
Yeah, Michigan has been awfully fortunate. I mean, they had all of their wins had been within 4 points over the past month. So they'd been pretty fortunate. I mean, they won by 3, scored 49 points, and won by 3 in Nebraska. Then they went at home against a bad Rutgers team on a miracle, 30-footer by Namari Burnett. And then yesterday, Illinois just took it to them. Illinois rebounded 49% of their own misses on Sunday. 49%. 30-second chance points. Michigan has those 2 7-footers, and Danny Wolf was terrible. 6'2", Kylan Boswell was on him all game. Held him to 7 points, I think, 5 rebounds. He had 5 turnovers. He was terrible. Vlad Golden got his. But they don't have much else besides those guys because their guards were not very good. I like Maryland in this one as well. I think Maryland's better than Michigan, and they can match up with the big guys too, with Queen and Julian Reese. So give me Maryland in a close one. Trap game here for Wisconsin at Minnesota.
It is a trap game, but I think Wisconsin gets it done.
I do too. They shot 5 of 32 from three yesterday. I think they've been one of the better three-point shooting teams in the league. But Minnesota's playing good basketball. Wisconsin's lost 2 of 3. I think they're due, and I think they bounce back. Minnesota hasn't been as good at home for whatever reason.
Yeah, it's weird.
Then a classic Big Ten bout here. We have Washington at USC.
give me USC. They're better. They're better in Washington.
I believe Michigan State can clinch the outright Big Ten title on Thursday at Iowa.
And I think they do that.
I do too.
Fran's last – well, I don't know if Iowa has a home game on the weekend. But
I think they're at Nebraska.
Okay. Well, if that's the case, I think this is Fran's last home game as Iowa's head coach.
I do too. Yeah, I think it's time for them to make a change. I mean, they've been bad the past 2 years.
Probably a fresh start for both sides would do good.
Not bad. Yeah, Fran's like 65, though, so he might be retirement age or maybe drops down a level. But, yeah, give me Michigan State. We've talked trash about them all year up until the past couple of weeks. And they had a rough stretch there, and then they played five straight games against good teams, and they went 5-0. So
the Indiana loss woke them up.
It did, and it unfortunately happened right before they played Illinois and Purdue.
Yeah, of course.
The game, probably the game of the week. Well, it's not the game of the week because Michigan State play.
Right.
But Friday night we have number 18 Purdue at Illinois. The cheapest ticket is $102.
Well, a little different than Nebraska and Ohio State. I have no confidence in this one. Give me Illinois, but I was thinking about this today. If you would have told me before the season, assuming Purdue wins against Rutgers tomorrow night, that they'd be 21-9 going into the Illinois game before the season, I would have took it. Yeah. It's just how they've kind of stumbled the last month is the disappointing part. But give me Illinois.
What you said is the exact way I'm feeling about this Illinois team. If you would have told me before the season that if they win, they're 20-11 to end the regular season. I would have said, sign me the heck up. But after they've played the past month, it's kind of disappointing, you know?
Yep.
So I'm right there with you. I also have no confidence because Illinois has not been able to beat Purdue since 2021. Every game's been so dang good though. I mean, it started with the double overtime game, Martin Luther King. And then past couple years at Mackey, it's been decided by 5 points or less. Last year in Champaign was a great game. Back and forth. So I'm expecting that to be the case here. Hopefully,
when's the last time they've met up in the Big Ten tournament? It's been a while.
There was 1 year Illinois was terrible. It was John Gross's
last year.
Yeah, Illinois came in. They were like they played on Wednesday, so they blew out Minnesota and then upset Iowa and then played Purdue on Friday. And I think Purdue was up 25 at half or something like that.
I think that was the 16-17 season. Does that sound correct?
15-16. Yeah, because 16-17 was Gross's final year. And they were NIT that year, so they weren't terrible.
Yeah, 15-16 would have been. Who the heck beat them in the Big Ten tournament that year? This was the year Purdue made the Big Ten tournament championship, lost to Michigan State, and then got beat by Little Rock. Yep.
That was a Little Rock year?
Yeah, because the following year, 16-17, was Biggie's year that he took them to the tournament and lost to Kansas. Michigan, the heroic Michigan team that skidded off on the runway, won the Big Ten tournament. That was in D.C.
Murdered Illinois in D.C. in the Big Ten
tourney. Yeah.
But yeah, so I'm taking Purdue for that because can't beat them. I thought that they'd beat them last year, and they didn't. Hopefully, Illinois changed their defense the past week, where it's more of a instead of drop covers, they're doing some different things. And Boswell has been awesome, and hopefully, they can shoot the ball a little better here. I saw a stat today; they are 16-2 if they shoot at least 27% from three,
which should be pretty attainable to do.
Pretty low bar to hit there, and that just shows how bad they've been shooting it recently. Yeah. But they hit 11 threes in the second half yesterday. Brad Underwood morons were quiet yesterday. I mean, you look at it, there is only one team in the Big Ten to be 500 or better in league play each of the past six seasons, and that's Illinois. They have 34 road wins over the past 6 years in Big Ten play. No other Big Ten school has 30. Went to an Elite Eight last year. They're tied with Purdue for the most Big Ten wins over the past 6 years with 80. So, yeah, those morons were pretty quiet yesterday. But give me Purdue. I was very happy they won in Michigan. They played well, and I'm glad they aren't.
Yeah, you weren't happy at halftime.
I wasn't because, for one, they scored 31 points. They were up by one, and they should have been up 10. They were getting all these offensive rebounds, but they shot 3 of 14 from 3 in the first half, turned it over 8 times. Then the second half starts, they give up a layup to Golden and then turn it over immediately, and I thought they were just going to get fold. But then I think they only turned it over one more time the rest of the game, scored 62 points in the second half while scoring over 2 points per possession because they were getting so many offensive rebounds. And the end of the game, I was very happy. So yeah. Hopefully it's a jumping off point, but it's more of a I'll believe it when I see it when it comes to Illinois actually beating Purdue.
Well, Purdue needs guys to play like they did the other night. You know, they need Miles Colvin to continue to be confident. Camden Heidi made a couple of threes, but the thing about Camden Friday, he got 9 rebounds. Mm. That's what they need out of him, especially against a team that was killing them in the first half on the boards in UCLA because of the size differential. Because Braden's probably going to get his. Trey Kaufman-Renz could probably going to be his. Get his. And man, Trey Kaufman-Renz improved so much from mm-hmm. last year. I mean, yeah. I think he had the talent in him all along, but just you got to step aside when you have Zach Edey. So,
right.
But no, those, yeah, I'm trying not to take it for granted because Purdue's been dating back to, I mean, you can go back to Homa Moore and Johnson, but then they have some bad teams. So dating back to Swanigan, they've had a string of really good players.
Yeah.
Swanigan and then of course, Edwards was a good college player, but Swanigan, Ivy, Edie, now Braden Smith, and I guess you could throw Trey Kaufman-Renz in there, but more so Braden Smith. Just trying not to take it for granted because right. But it's hard not to because they just keep coming.
I know, and that's kind of the same way I am. This will be the first year since March of 2019 that Illinois will not have a first-team All-Big Ten player.
That's pretty wild.
Yeah, I mean, they had Io in 2020, then Io and Kofi in 21, Kofi in 22, Shannon in 23, and then Domask and Shannon last year. So I've been pretty spoiled.
Yep.
Here the past couple of years. But, yeah, I'm not looking forward to Friday at all. Cause
I'm not either.
It's just never fun.
No, it's not.
It's never fun. It's not. It definitely hasn't been fun
for Peacock, me. Right? Or is it Fox?
Fox.
Fox yeah. Friday night. Duh.
Yeah, the Fox. The last time Illinois played on Fox, they lost by 45. So,
well, here's my thought. Purdue hadn't lost a Friday night game all year.
That's exactly how my brain works, too. unless, of course, it's, you know, the other team is due for a loss. And I'm like, oh, there's no way they're going to continue the streak. Which is how I'm feeling. But Saturday, we have Penn State at Wisconsin.
Wisconsin, big.
Yeah, Wisconsin, Northwestern at Maryland.
Bad week for Northwestern. Give me Maryland.
Yeah, they had a nice run, though. Give me Maryland. The biggest bubble game of the weekend, Ohio State at Indiana.
I like Indiana at home. They got them on the road, so I think they get them at home.
This will be the J-Man's bookie prediction of the week. Give me Indiana as well. And I think, depending on what happens, if they win tomorrow, they're probably in, regardless of if they lose this one. I think they'd sweat it a little bit, but winning at Oregon would go a long way.
So I got a question before you do the read real quick. So assuming they get in the tournament, what if they make some sort of little run, let's say Sweet 16? Do they still force Whitson out, or is that a bad look when he's made 3 tournaments in 4 years and the latest run to Sweet 16?
I think you gotta, don't you? I mean,
but it's kind of hard to walk that back now.
I know.
Put it out there to the universe.
I know. That's why I think you kind of have to let him, or kind of have to continue to push him out. it's best case scenario for Indiana, though. You go to a Sweet 16, you still get a new coach. I mean, that's the best case.
Yeah. Assuming you can keep your guys.
Right. That's the other thing. And the good thing for Indiana is they've had, 6 weeks to prepare for this, or maybe not 6 weeks, but by the end of the season, it'll be about 6 weeks.
Yep.
Give me Indiana at home. I think they split this week, and I think they'd be fine with a split. I think that obviously they want to win both. But J-Man's Book It Prediction of the Week is brought to you by Travis Watchering Insurance Agency for life, home, auto, business, renters, workers' comp, and farm insurance. Contact Travis 219-869-4561. Book it! And then Saturday night we have USC at UCLA.
Give me the Bruins.
Yeah, give me UCLA at home. I think they have a good week. Then probably the game of the week, Michigan's got a brutal schedule. I mean, they have at Maryland and at Michigan State. I think they lose both. I think Michigan State beats them.
They have Maryland at home.
They have Maryland at home, that's right. And I think Maryland beats them, as I said. But give me Michigan State in this one. And Michigan State might not have much to play for.
They hate Michigan, though. So
Michigan State could clinch the Big Ten if Michigan loses.
Gotcha.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I like Sparty at home. They got it done in Chrysler earlier this year on the road against Michigan. I think they get it done at home.
Iowa at Nebraska.
Oh, this is a tough one. I don't know why I'm going to take Iowa. I don't know why, though. I don't know why.
I mean, the Minnesota loss at home for Nebraska is pretty deflating and could tank their season. But
I guess because Iowa can get hot shooting. That's the one thing I'm thinking.
They can. Sanford's been kind of bad, and it could be his last game ever because they lose both this week, and USC likely beats Washington, and Iowa's not even making the Big Ten tourney, which would be wild. Give me Nebraska, though, just because they're at home. Minnesota at Rutgers.
Give me Rutgers, even though Minnesota plays better away from the barn for some reason.
Yeah, give me Rutgers as well. I remember sitting here January 1 saying, I don't know if Minnesota's going to win another game the rest of the year.
Yeah, and here I know.
Won 7.
Yep.
So Oregon at Washington to close out the regular season. Hard to believe.
Oregon.
Yeah, give me Oregon. I think they have a good week and come into the Big Ten tourney on a be a 7-game win streak.
They'll be on a heater, but yeah, but they'll have like 10 fans in Indianapolis, so.
Yeah, you know. They're not big basketball people anyway. I got some top 25 games here if you want to pick those as well.
Sure.
Auburn at Texas A&M. A&M's kind of free falling here a little bit.
They are. I think it'll be a good one, but give me Auburn.
I think Auburn's the best team in the country. And I mean, they've only lost 2 games, so I'm taking Auburn as well. Number 23, BYU at number 10, Iowa State.
Give me the Cyclones.
Yeah, give me Iowa State as well. Wednesday night, we have a big one here. ESPN2, number 5, Florida at number 7, Alabama.
On ESPN2? Wow. Yeah. And I'm going chalk with the home teams. Give me Alabama.
Give me Alabama as well. This could be the deciding factor on who gets that number 1.
They choked the other day. 4-point lead with a little over a minute left and lost on a buzzer beater at Tennessee.
Number 15, Missouri plays 17-12, 4-12 in the SEC, Oklahoma, and Joe Lunardi still has them in the tourney. They've barely won a game this calendar year. Calendar year, but in the 2025 year, I should say.
Give me Missouri.
Missouri. They didn't foul up 3 at Vandy and gave up a 3 and ended up losing in overtime. Oh, I think it might have been double overtime. Give me Missouri as well. Number 20, Marquette at UConn.
Two teams that have not had seasons they thought they were going to have. Give me UConn at home.
Give me UConn at home as well. Number 6, St. John's at number 20, Marquette. That's a big one.
I watched some St. John's the other day, man. They pressed you the whole game. Who'd you say they play?
At Marquette.
So Marquette plays at UConn, then at home against?
Yep.
Wow, what a week. But give me Marquette at home.
I'm taking St. John's. I think they won the Big East for the first time since 2000.
Yeah, that Madison Square Garden was rocking the other night.
Rick Pitino might be the best coach in the country. Number 19, Kentucky at number 15, Missouri.
I don't know why I'm taking the road team, Kentucky. No idea why.
Give me Missouri at home. That Illinois win against him is aging like fine wine, which I'm okay with.
You probably didn't think it was going to in December.
No. Man, Alabama's got a brutal week. The SEC is just a
dumb. It's stupid. Have
number 5, Florida at home. And then they travel to number 1, Auburn on Saturday.
Yeah, give me Auburn.
Give me Auburn as well. Number 24, Arizona at Kansas, who is 10-8 in league play, believe it or not.
Yeah, I lost to Texas Tech at home the other day. They've lost more games this year at Fog Allen than I can ever recall.
I know.
With that said, though, Senior Day, Self came out with that statement. Give me Kansas.
Give me Kansas at home. I still have a hard time picking against them at Allen Fieldhouse.
Yeah.
The most overrated rivalry in sports, number 2, Duke at North Carolina. Not ranked.
Duke's a lot better. But rivalry games, weird things happen. But with that said, give me Duke.
At Duke by 20. This North Carolina team's hanging on the bubble. Shouldn't even be on it. Remember when everyone was just not even that long ago, the ACC is the best conference in college basketball. They have been miserably bad.
They might be lucky to get four teams in.
Yeah, the past couple years they've been terrible.
Yeah.
Then our only ranked game on Sunday, we have already picked Michigan and Michigan State. So that rounds out the regular season.
Is there any interesting mid-major tourneys to where there's like two or three teams battling to
let me pull it up real
secure
quick.
Secure their spot.
The Missouri Valley is interesting just for the fact that if some team other than Drake wins, will Drake get the at-large? Because they've only lost two games. Crazy story, too. So Drake loses their coach to West Virginia, Darian Devries, and they hire a Division II coach. He brings pretty much all his players from his D2 team. I think four of their five starters played Division II basketball last year, and they are 28-2 this year. So pretty incredible job by, I don't even know the guy's name. But that's an interesting one. I don't think any of the other interesting one, 27-3 Drake is. Bradley's really good though. They're 24-7 as well. Belmont's good in Northern Iowa.
Mitch Melton here on Facebook said Lenardi said that North Carolina has to find a way to beat Duke to get in.
Have to. Yeah, I agree. They have to win this one if they won that large. I mean, we've seen it in the ACC tourney last year. NC State goes on a run, then they end up in the Final Four. So,
yeah, crazy things can happen.
Who you got in the West Coast Conference? Gonzaga, St. Mary's?
Yeah, it's still hard for me to pick against Gonzaga.
Yeah, they've won that thing so much. I'm going to take Gonzaga as well. St. Mary's is 27-4, Gonzaga 23-8. The Zags have lost some home games, which is weird this year.
Yeah, them in Kansas, like I said, it's very strange.
San Francisco's good too. They're 23-8.
I about threw them in there on the blind ranking because they won two national titles back then and were awesome through the 60s. But I was like, that's
pretty good here the past couple of years. Yeah. But I when you said the blind ranking, I was thinking San Francisco might be in there just because of the Bill Russell effect. But
I don't know if you remember this at all. But before Gene Katy retired from Purdue, it was either before his last year, or maybe before his second to last year, San Francisco offered him, and he thought about it.
Really?
Yeah, he thought about it. I remember it being a story on ESPN and stuff.
I don't remember that at all.
Because the only other job he's thought about, which he was real close to taking in the 90s, was Arizona State.
I wonder why.
I don't know.
It'd be somewhere warmer. San Francisco's not that warm. But.
Yeah. Well, San Francisco, that would have made a little more sense because, see, I mean, it did the writing on the wall. It was on the wall for the end of his career at Purdue. His recruiting was struggling. It would have been an easy way to take it out. But
That reminds me, after Lou Henson retired, he then came back and went to New Mexico State for a few years, late 90s. So kind of would have been a similar situation.
Yep. But it'll be an interesting week. I always root for, like, in the small conferences, like, the teams have been struggling all year. Somebody just get hot and be a big stealer.
Yeah, I always root for the schools that have never been there to the NCAA tourney. That's always fun to see their reaction.
Yeah.
I think there's only maybe three or four bids booked this weekend, and then next week it's all throughout the week.
Yep.
Which is always fun. But fun time of year for sure.
Well, do you want to get educated today?
I actually have that pulled up too. If you want me to
all
do
right,
that,
I'll get educated then.
All right. On this day in a lot of cricket. On this day in 1920, the Montreal Canadiens scored an NHL record 16 goals, beating the Quebec Bulldogs.
I wonder how many goalies the Bulldogs went through. But probably back then, 1920, you probably didn't carry a lot of goalies. Man, for that starting goalie's sake, I hope he wasn't the only one. If he let 16 goals go past him,
He would have been at, without a job the next day.
Yeah. Been gone to sell papers.
In 1950, the National American Football League reverts to calling itself the NFL after 3 months.
Good, because that's a dumb name.
That's a terrible name, yeah. On this day, a lot of ACC tourneys. On this day in... Man, a lot of conference tourneys this week. On this day in 1983, Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback Terry Bradshaw is admitted to hospital for surgery to repair his throwing arm under the alias Tom Brady.
That's weird.
That is wild.
That's really weird.
Yeah.
Good old Bradshaw.
On this day, and oh man, there's a guy by the name of David Boone in 1991. He completed his 10th Test cricket century. I don't know what that means, but they have a picture of this guy, and he has the most fantastic mustache I've ever seen in my entire life.
Better than Raleigh Fingers?
It's more like it's not like curled up, but it's just like your classic mustache, and it's something to behold. It's probably not that big of a deal, but I'm a fan of mustaches. on this day, in man. Not a whole lot. I'm in 2018. 2024, last year, Iowa's Caitlin Clark became NCAA Division I all-time scoring leader, surpassing Pete Maravich's career total of 3,667 points, or 35 points in a win over visiting Ohio State, brought her total to 36, 85, and counting.
Well, she was something.
She's pretty good.
And not the WNBA will be getting started here just in a, April or May. May.
May.
But I think the Fever are going to be pretty good. So
they should be. They got probably the MVP leader or the MVP best voting odds right now.
Even the front runner. Front runner. Yeah. Yeah. So, but yes, that is that the last one?
That is the last one.
That is the On This Day segment brought to you by Mooney Woodcrafts. Mooney Woodcrafts is a veteran owned and operated woodcraft shop based out of Texas. With Indiana Grassroots, they provide 100% hand-cut custom designs to fit your needs, and their pieces are a great addition to any home, office, or man cave. You can see some of their recently completed projects by visiting them at Mooney Woodcrafts on Instagram and on Facebook. And if you let them know the Tan and J-Man Show sent you, you get 15% off your first sign order. They make those signs make the perfect gift for any occasion. So get your sign orders in. Like I said, let Thad know the Tan and J-Man Show sent you. Get 15% off.
Sir.
Well, J-Man, what's going on in the MLB world around spring training? I have not been keeping my finger on the pulse at all.
Not a whole lot, honestly. The Cubs and Dodgers play in Japan in 2 weeks. So that's when the season starts. But it's weird. They play two games. They play two exhibition, then they play two games against the Dodgers. Cubs do. And then they come back to spring training for a week. So that's got to be a weird feeling starting 0-2 and coming back to spring training and starting the
official. You never know. They might start 2-0.
Maybe.
Or 1-1.
I'd take a split easily right now. But not a ton's going on. There's not really huge injury news around the league.
So why is the MLB doing that? It's just trying to global reach?
Yeah, they used to do it back in the day. I remember the Cubs played in Japan against the Mets in 2000. That was the first time they'd played a regular season game away from the United States. And they've started to do it about each of the past couple years they've done it. They've had games in like Puerto Rico. They've had games in Mexico City. I think I saw they're going to try to do something else in Europe this year, maybe. They've had games in London. But I think it's more of a global reach. And Japan is a fantastic baseball country. And obviously you have all these stars coming over from Japan. And that's why they put the Dodgers and Cubs there. Because, the Dodgers have Shohei, who's probably the most well-known baseball player in the entire world at this point. They also have Roki Sasaki. They have Yamamoto. They have another guy, an infielder. And the Cubs have, Shota Imanaga and Seiya Suzuki. So
good point.
It's a big draw. And both those teams are pretty big draws anyway, but having the Japanese players on your roster certainly helps. So, Yeah, just a global reach. I mean, they like to reach globally, but they still black out games if you're within 300 miles of the stadium. So
figure that out. Did I see correctly a report that Manfred's considering reinstating, well, he's passed away now, Pete Rose?
Yeah, so you knew it probably
knew this was going to happen. The guy died. Just knew it.
They're going to bring it to the table and see, and I assume they'll do it.
Which is good, but also it frustrates me.
It is frustrating in the sense that, you wait till the guy passes away before you even have a conversation. Yep. That kind of sparks the debate up again, which is wrong, in my opinion. Yep. But I think he'll ultimately be reinstated and be inducted into the Hall of Fame and all of that. So he's just not here to see it.
NFL Combine, Scouting Combine. I didn't watch any of it. Didn't follow too much. I don't think there was too many headlines really coming out of it. Like I said last week, a lot of guys did just interviews this year, or maybe did one or two drills.
Yeah, a lot of guys, it seems like, are, because it gives them more time to prepare, but getting more prepared for their pro day than anything. Mm-hmm. The one interesting thing that I saw, Tez Johnson of Oregon, he was a fantastic receiver. He weighed in at 154 pounds.
Yeah.
And then went out and ran a 4.51 40. If you're weighing that and you run a 4.5 40, that's not good.
No.
The crazy thing is, on the drills, he was number one in miles per hour when he ran in the sprint
speed.
So
weird.
He's a fascinating player, but if you're weighing 154 pounds, you're probably not going to get drafted.
Yeah, he's as close as he's a non-blood brother to Bo Nix. Let's put it that way. Mm. Pretty much lived at their house. So. Mm.
Well, if he doesn't get drafted, he'll probably end up in Denver, I imagine.
I don't know. They got Troy Franklin last year from Oregon, and that didn't work out so well. So, but rookie, he did catch a touchdown against the Bills in the playoffs. Their lone touchdown. So, but I don't know. I always want to be careful when you're taking guys just because they're teammates of your quarterback from college.
Right.
I don't
know. Right. But, when's the new league year start? Is it next week?
12th. 12th.
So tampering starts a week from today, then, legal tampering?
Yep.
Cool.
Yeah, we should start hearing some I don't know how interesting of a free agent. Now, quarterback-wise, it could be pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Got Aaron Rodgers out there, Russell Wilson. Kirk Cousins, even though I haven't heard anything about him officially being released or anything.
He's signed a massive deal.
Yeah, but it was 2 years guaranteed. Yeah. I guess so. I guess he could sit behind Penix 1 year, but that kind of sucks for him.
Yeah.
Sam Darnold and that situation in Minnesota.
That's an interesting
one. But like running back wise, there's not a lot of good options.
Najee Harris. I want nothing to do with him though.
Mm, yeah.
The first big move so far has been the Debo traded from the Niners to Washington.
Fifth round pick,
which Debo's kind of disappointed the past couple of years.
He's a diva a little bit.
And a little bit of a diva, too. Sounds like the Giants have a really strong offer on the table for Aaron Rodgers.
I don't get it.
And that would be fascinating. And he says the only way I'm signing is if you bring old Devontae Adams with me. He can't help himself, man.
He can't
help himself.
He can't.
It's always fun when that stuff comes out.
Yeah.
We'll be hearing a guy signing with teams this time next week.
Yep.
They won't officially be able to sign until Wednesday, but we'll hear them at least.
And one more sports newsworthy item on a somber note. Gene Hackman passed away last week. Well, was found passed away. Yeah. It sounds like he was passed away probably long before that. Age of 95. Great actor in his own right, but obviously in the sports world with Hoosiers, one of the best sports movies, in my opinion. Ever made. So that brings me up to a question for you. If you could pick one sports movie from all time to watch for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Oh man. Remember the Titans.
I think that's mine. Crazy. That's mine.
Yeah.
Okay. So what's your one baseball movie? Cause you're a baseball junkie. So what's your one baseball movie?
Yeah. I love Moneyball. Love it. And that'd probably be it, Moneyball.
Yeah. Gets the nod over Field of Dreams.
Yeah.
Sandlot. Those types. Okay.
Yeah. Right. Hoosiers. I haven't seen Hoosiers in a long time.
I haven't either. I told my wife we're going to watch it. She's never seen it.
Hmm.
She actually thought it was about IU.
Yeah.
Because she goes, why do you like that movie? Is it about IU? I'm like, no, it's not about IU.
No, it's not.
About IU. So, yeah.
You would definitely hate it if it was. I mean, you hated Rudy for that.
Even though I owned it at one time. I owned Rudy at one time, but yeah.
Yeah.
He was offsides, by the way.
Yes, he definitely was. I saw a former Notre Dame player went on a podcast recently, like within the past year, talking about it and said it was all fabricated. I mean,
he wasn't even as close.
He was a good guy, and he did get like I don't know if he got the sack or whatever.
Yeah. But, the movie.
He said it wasn't even like when he was there, it wasn't that big of a deal. Like he was just a walk on that played hard. That was,
yeah,
it wasn't anything else other than that.
I guess the neat thing about that movie was how much of it was shot on the campus of Notre Dame. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, that is cool.
So, you ever seen Blue Chips?
Never seen Blue Chips.
Yeah, that's good. That's good basketball.
Trying to think what other basketball movies they haven't made a ton of them. I like
Glory Road.
I loved Glory Road when I was a kid.
Coach Carter.
Coach Carter was good as well. The Replacements is a good movie too. Forgot about that one. Thanks, Dad. Keanu Reeves.
Yeah. Replacements. I always forget Gene was in that.
You too.
He's a huge role in it. Yeah. That's because that's another one I asked my wife the other day if she's seen. She hadn't seen that either. So I'm like, well, you like Keanu Reeves, so I gotta start making a list. So, well, hit me with that birdie or bogey one more time, right? Would you?
What school in college, but what program in college basketball has the most wins in the month of March? That includes, you know, regular season, tourney.
Since when?
Since 2010.
Well, right away, team that jumps out to me is UConn because of three national titles in the last two. But they've had some bad years in there. Or four national titles since 2010. Right? No. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Because they beat Butler, Kentucky, and then the last two. But I don't think it's them because you said it's not a team that'd be on your radar.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking another team that jumped out to me is Baylor, but they won a title in 2020, 2021. So I'm not going with them. I'm thinking it's a team that hasn't won a title. But man. So I don't think it's Gonzaga. They haven't won a title, but that seems obvious. And I'm going to be so wrong. This is so embarrassing. I'm going with Creighton.
That's a good guess. A really good guess. I'll even give you another hint. It's a Big Ten team.
No, Craig. No. Why? Is it Wisconsin?
Another good guess, but incorrect. It is Oregon. Yeah.
You could have given me 20 guesses.
They've been to
Final Four.
At least one Final Four. But yeah, that include, I mean, they've won their conference tourney a bunch. You gotta think
that too.
And obviously regular season games as well. I saw that during the Oregon USC game the other night. And I could not believe it. Could not believe it. So that was a hard one. And I am expecting to get a very, very hard one next week or in the weeks coming.
No, it doesn't matter if it's hard or easy. We're awful. This is the worst start we've ever had for a year.
Yeah. I don't, has either of us got one correct? I must have, or I must have got a par.
Got a par, but I don't think one of us got a birdie yet.
I'm at +3, you're at +5, so I must have got a par.
Yeah, you did get a par. You did get a par 1 week, but I don't think we've got birdies.
We stink.
This is embarrassing. It's embarrassing. We haven't got. That's why we don't get asked to be on anybody's trivia teams. So yeah, we got guest appearance.
She knocked my mic off.
Hi. Can you say hi? There's a
smile. I've got a smile. That worked.
There's a hi. You want to say hi again?
There we go.
Thanks for watching the Tan and J-Man show. We'll be back at her next Monday with another episode and one of our favorite weeks of the year.
Let's do it.
Preseason.